Good morning, church. It's good to see you all, although online. Although I mean, it's a little bit not fair. You can see me, but I can't see all of you. You know, I feel it's pretty lonely here with the empty hall. All with me is James, Joyce, Benji, and Brother Lou here. The rest have gone. But to keep me company, I will imagine Elder Brian sitting on my right-hand side. You know, then behind will usually be Elder Chin Si, and then on my right will be Pastor Isaac, you know, and then Brother Singh, Elder Singh Ki will be that, and the rest of you, you know, just imagine, you know. So I think it's more stressful having it taped than, doing it live. Doing live, you make a mistake, then you just go on, you know, you all laugh, and then you'll be on. But then, on tape, sometimes you have to retape and all. So, but I told Brother Lou, no, you know, mistake, we are all humans. Just carry on, whatever it is, okay. Now, my topic this morning, it is the prayer of Habakkuk, chapter 3. Now, although the whole chapter of 3 is called the prayer of Habakkuk, or Habakkuk's prayer, actually, the actual prayer is only in verse 2. Only in verse 2. He says, Lord, I have heard your name. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. And that is the NIV version. Now, in the New Living Translation, it reads, I have heard all about you, Lord, and I am filled with awe by the amazing things you have done. In this time of our deep need, begin again to help us as you did in the years gone by. Show us your power to save us, and in your anger, remember your mercy. Let's pray. Father God, even at this time, we are praying the same prayer that Habakkuk had prayed so many years ago. In your anger, remember mercy, Lord. We pray especially for the world situation when COVID-19 has killed so many people, Lord. And so many people have lost their loved ones and lost their jobs. So we pray, Lord, in your anger, in your wrath, remember mercy, Lord. Forgive our sins, Lord, and hear us. And even as we look into your word this morning, help us to understand, Lord, your discipline. It is because you love us. In Jesus' name we pray all this. Amen. Now, in the last two chapters by Brother Yok Ming and Pastor Wallace, the first chapter, it was Habakkuk's preview of God's discipline of Judah. And then in chapter 2, last Sunday, it was Habakkuk's pronouncing God's destruction of Babylon. And this morning, as I look at chapter 3, in short, you know, it is Habakkuk's praying God's design of creation. You know, it is, we already mentioned, you know, the first one or two words, it is the prayer of mercy by Habakkuk, you know. Then it is God's presence of His majesty. You know, the second part is God's presence of His majesty from verse 13, 3 to verse 15. Now, Habakkuk told of how God has come down to meet His people on Mount Sinai and gave them the Ten Commandments. Then He made His appearance, you know, appearance with the 10 plagues in Egypt when the great and mighty Pharaoh finally had to let the Israelites go. Then Habakkuk tells of God's action in nature and among the nations. And then from verse 16, he says, I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quiver at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs tremble. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig trees does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crops fail and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. You see here, Habakkuk was saying in verse 16 to 17, he said, he awaits God's punishment, you know, to be upon the nations of the people who will use God used to punish his people. And then in verse 18 to 19, he says, in spite of all that, I will still rejoice You know, I will still be joyful because, Lord, you are my strength. You make my feet like the feet of a deer. You enables me to go on the heights. He's joyful, although, you know, God is punishing the people and also punishing the people that God has used to punish his own people. Now, the last line of Habakkuk's prayer, in your wrath, you know, in your anger, remember mercy. In fact, the Lord had already answered that prayer for his nation of Israel right up to today and even until he comes back on earth. Now, since the time of Abraham, in verse Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 to 3, he told Abraham, he says, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great, you know, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, God gave them the promise that he will bless the descendants of Abraham. But God also told them, you know, any time, you know, that you sin, my punishment will come upon you. And that is in Deuteronomy chapter 28. The next slide, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 63 to 64. He says, you will be uprooted from the land you are entering to possess. They have not entered land, they have not entered into the land yet. And yet God says, you know, you will be uprooted when you go into the land, then the Lord will scatter you among all nations, from one end of the earth to the other. And that is, you know, he tells us in 28, Deuteronomy chapter 28. Then when he goes to chapter 30, he told them, you know, when you obey God, God will bless you, you know. But when you disobey God, you know, I will uproot you and send you right across, you know, the face of the earth. And then in verse chapter 30, verse 3 and verse 5, he says, when you obey me, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all nations where he scattered you. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your fathers, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. You see these two verses at the beginning, chapter 28, he says that, you know, I will uproot you if you disobey me and scatter you all around. But when you come back to me, I will restore your fortunes. You know, I will gather you from all nations wherever I scattered you, you know, to bring you back to your land. Now, we see that, you know, the last line of Habakkuk, God has, you know, Habakkuk has prayer. You see, we look at the history of Israel. You know, the political power of Israel was at its highest under the rule of David and his son Solomon. But because Solomon took many wives, hidden wives, you know, and the children born by them drifted away and worshipped other gods. And that resulted in the divided kingdom of Judah and Israel. The 10 tribes unite to form the kingdom of Israel, and idol worship became their national religion. Then that's the reason in BC 721, the 10 tribes, you know, the kingdom of Israel was carried off into captivity by the Assyrians. The kingdom of Judah, including the tribes of Benjamin and Judah, continued for a little bit more than another century until they too were taken by captives by the Babylonians. For a generation, the land of Israel was no more theirs to live on or control. In keeping with the promise given to Jeremiah 29, verse 10, that the captivity will only last 70 years. The book of Ezra, I think we have dealt with that, 440 years before Christ, records the first group of captives, you know, led by Zerubbabel, making their way back to their homeland. Nehemiah, 430 years before Christ, completes the building of the wall and the temple. Once again, you know, Israel was back in their ancient land, reestablished as a nation. God promised that But this was not to last long. One of the sad chapters of the Israel history was the Maccabean revolt 167 years before Christ, where the people of Israel was severely persecuted. In 63 BC, the Romans took control of the land of Palestine, and it was during this time that our Lord was born in Bethlehem. Remember, our Lord died under the hands, you know, of the Roman Empire at that time. But the worst was yet to come. In AD 70, Titus, you know, the Roman general, ordered Jerusalem and the beautiful temple destroyed, and 250,000 Jews died. The remaining Jews continued to revolt, and finally in AD 135, the desolation of Judah was complete. Almost 1,000 towns and villages were left in ashes, and 50 fortresses was razed to the ground. The people of Israel, except for a few scattered families who remained, the rest were dispersed to the four corners of the world. You know, fulfilling what the Lord had just said, you know, in Deuteronomy, I will scatter you, you know, all over the world. You know, from that time, AD 135 to modern time, the nation of Israel made their homes all over the world. Because of their disobedience, God's hand came hard upon them. But God remembered Habakkuk's prayer. In wrath, in anger, remember mercy. In May 1948, Israel was proclaimed itself as an independent state within the boundary set by the United Kingdom. And even before the day was passed, before any celebration could be done, six powerful Arabs, you can see it on the map, six powerful Arabs surrounding Israel. The map of the, yeah, the is the map up there? The map. Brother Lou, the map. Okay, please put up the map there. You see? Israel, the white one is a tiny little Israel, you know, declared by the United Kingdom, okay, now you can have independence. But look at the surrounding six nations: Egypt, Jordan, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia. All these nations, you know, are Muslim nations. They combine together six nations surrounding the white little tiny Israel, and he says, you know, we are not going to let them have independence. We are going to push them into the sea, Mediterranean Sea. So they, with the combined forces, you know, these rich and powerful countries with their modern armory and weapons, they attack Israel. And at that time, Israel had only 650,000, you know, Israelites in Israel, is the white little piece of land. Where else? They were surrounded by these six countries with 30 million. My friends, 30 million, you know. And all along, they attacked, but Israel fought back. Israel fought back, and all in, there were six wars from that day, 1948, you know, where they got their independence. Then in 1956, in 1967, the famous Six-Day War, I think the shortest war, you can Google it, and you will see. In 6 days, Israel, you know, fought back. And then in 1973, and then in 1982, the 85, and then the last one is 2006. In all these six wars, Israel won. And after each war, more Palestinian Arabs became refugees. You see, my friend, the rebirth of Israel was put in a film inspired by a novel entitled Exodus by Leon Uris. And Leon, in the cover of his book, he says that Exodus is the story of the greatest miracle of our time, an event unparalleled in the history of mankind, the rebirth of a nation which has been dispersed 2,000 years before. It tells the story of the Jews coming back after centuries of abuse, indignities, torture, murder, to carve an oasis in the sand with guts and with blood. This is the book. It's almost 600 pages by Leon Uris. And I read this book twice, 600 pages. Because when I read this book, I can feel myself, you know, just like an Israelite, you know, just like a Jew. All corners. If you read this book, I just encourage you, you know, to read this book. And the moment you start reading, you will not be able to put it down, you know. And you will see the Jews, you know, after 2,000 years, now we have our own country to call our own. So they were all going back. You know, many of them from uproot, from wherever places they have been, you know, to go back. And those cannot go back, they will send the money because they want Israel to have back their own land, you know. And the theme song of Exodus is one of my favorite. Last night, I heard it on YouTube, sung by Andy Williams, and another one sung by Pat Bone, but it did not have the you know, from the original film, you know. Thank God, James was able to find the original film and the words and the orchestra. It was full of orchestra. And when it was, you know, and when you hear that song, when every time I hear that song, I feel my blood is, you know, is boiling, you know, for the pride of the Israelites. This land is mine, you know. This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave and ancient land to me. And when the morning sun reveals her hills and plains, then I see a land where children can run free. So take my hand and walk this land with me. This lovely land with me. Though I am just a man, when you are by my side, with the help of God, I know I can be strong. Every time I hear this song, you know, I there's goose pimples. I see this, you know. It's a song of pride, you know, and a song that it really makes you proud of the Israelites that they, you know, after 2,000 years, they're going back to their land. Somehow, you know, I suspect there may be some Jewish blood in me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be feeling like that. This land is mine. See, how is it possible that the six rich and powerful nations, the countries, cannot overwhelm this tiny little Kuchimau, Kacang Putih country? You look at the map and see, small little dot there. The only answer is their God. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God that you and I believe in is with them. The great and awesome God. You know, this will be the response hymn we'll be singing. The creator of the whole universe is with them. Remember the king Assyria in 2 Kings chapter 19? You know, he warned King Hezekiah to surrender, or else I'm coming into Jerusalem and I will raise, you know, the whole land onto the ground. And with him was 185,000. His army was 185,000. But that night, you know, before that, Hezekiah was trembling, you know. He didn't know what to do. But Isaiah, the prophet, tells him, don't worry. The Lord will help you. And that night, if you look at, you know, that story, that chapter, 2 Kings chapter 19, also in Chronicles, it's recorded, you know, God sent an angel and killed 185,000. All of them died. None of them saw the morning sun. I think the same thing happened in these six wars that Israel fought with these six powerful neighbors. God was with them. God fought those wars with them. Indeed, if God is for us, who can be against us. Never in the history of the world had an ancient people scattered for so many centuries, 2,000 years, be able to return to their ancient land and re-establish themselves with such success. Israel today is reputed to have the fastest mobilization system in any nation in the world. The army of Israel today is more than a match for any of the enemies combined, with a population of, by now, will be more than 30 million. 30 million was in 1948. Now, I don't know how many millions. Not only that, not only God is protecting them, you see, and not only that, but because God has chosen, you know, the Jews as his chosen people, right from the beginning of time, the Israelites were among, you know, the cleverest people in the world. More than 20% of the Nobel Prize winners in all six categories are Jews. And you know what is the population? The Israelites' population against, you know, the population of the world? 0.11%. Not even 1%. 0.11. A population of 0.11 can have more than 20% Nobel Prize winners. If not for their God and our God, you tell me, how can this happen? First, a nation who has lost their land for 2,000 years are now back in their ancient land that God has promised them. That was God's promise. Beautiful land for those of you who have gone there, I'm sure you'll see. Beautiful land, you know. And not only that, you know, six rich and powerful neighbors fought six wars with them and lost all six times. You know, it's not just one time, not just in 1948. Time and again, they want to, you know, kill they want to take back the land, but they couldn't. A small country with 0.11% of the world's population can produce more than 20% of Nobel Prize winners in all the six categories. My friend, if not for God, what is it? You see, my friends, God is indeed with the land of Israel. Indeed, you know, the prayer of Habakkuk has been answered. In wrath, remember mercy. Yes, disobedience needs to be punished. And God indeed allowed Israel to suffer in the hands of many nations, much cruel and worse than them. But no nation in the world has suffered as much as a Jewish nation. Remember the 6 million Jews? 6 million, you know, were killed in the Second World War in gas chamber, concentration camps, you know, by the Nazis. But in mercy, God now gave them back the land. And God promised that land, protected them from those who want to take it away from them. My dear brothers and sisters, God punishes and disciplines because he loves. Just like we as parents, when we punish our children, it is always for their own good. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, it says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as the father of the son he delights in." Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 and 6 repeats that. I remember early in my ministry, I prayed this prayer immediately after my graduation. I say, "Lord, if I ever go astray and sin and bring shame to your name, please warn me and correct me and lead me back to you. And if I don't listen, discipline me. No, be the biggest rotten you can get and punish me, Lord. And if I still don't listen, Lord, take me home. I'd rather be home with you than to continue to bring shame to your name." Probably I said that prayer was when I was in Dallas, you know, in the Dallas Chinese Bible Church. One of the members there was from Hong Kong. He shared with me, one day he says, "You know, Scocky, do you know my face on the left side? You think there's something, you know, do you see any difference?" I said, "No, it looks normal to me." And I touched his face, you know, this brother. And you know, the skin is there. Why? He says, you know, Koki, when I first came to Hong Kong, I was a crook, you know. You know, I mean, I'm from Hong Kong. I live in small little place. When I come here to study, oh, there's so much things to enjoy. I went to church when I was in Hong Kong. But when I came here, I didn't go to church. You know, people invited me, friends invited me, but I didn't go to church. But one day, you know, I really finished my studies and I was working. And one day I was on a bicycle, you know. And he says, you know, I fell down and broke my arm. Well, I thought, you know, maybe it's an accident, you know. So, you know, I changed, I bought a motorbike. And again, I had an accident, you know. And I broke my other arm, you know. And then something tells me that maybe God is trying to warn me to get me back to church, you know. And then I bought a car, you know, more protective, like, you know, bicycle and motorbike, you know. The moment you fall, you know, you will hurt yourself. But then when I had the car, I also had an accident. And this is the result of the accident. I broke my chin bone. I have to put a steel plate here. That's why I asked you to touch just now, you know. It was a steel plate that was replaced. And the moment they replaced that, you know, that steel plate, I remember God like telling me the next time it will be a lorry. The next time hitting you will be a lorry, not just a car. And that brought me back to church. You see, God used various ways, you know, my friends, to bring us back to church because He loves us. I mean, God could have let this person go, but because He loves us, because we belong to Him. And for some of you out there, you know, if you have not been in church for a long time, if you have not, you know, been in relationship with God for a long time, you have not been praying, you have not been reading God's Word, you know, let this be a lesson to us. You know, when we disobey, God will discipline us. And discipline us for our good, not for our bad. When we punish our children, it's for their good, although they don't understand. You know, just like the Israelites. You know, God punished them, but see how God has blessed them today. So, my dear friends, as we read this prayer of Habakkuk, let us remember, you know, although God will, you know, punish us, God will be angry with us, but yet His mercy will always be there because He still loves us. So, you know, for you, those of you who are up there, as I've said, if you have not, you know, been having relationship with the Lord, you know, come back to the Lord, you know, this afternoon, this evening, and pray and ask God to forgive whatever sins that you may have, especially in this pandemic. We don't know why God is doing it. You know, maybe God is waking up the whole world to tell us, especially those countries that are persecuting, you know, the Christians out there. And this may be a punishment for them. So ask God to you know, in His wrath, have mercy on us. Have mercy on the whole world so that we can come back to God and worship Him for who He is and what He has done in our lives. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank You this morning to remind us of the prayer of Habakkuk, that in Your wrath, You still have mercy for us. Father, truly we have sinned against You, our country, so many countries in the world. And maybe the COVID-19 is put to remind us of Your wrath, to bring us back to You. We thank You, Lord, for this reminder. Heal our land, Lord. Take the COVID-19 from us so that we can come back and worship You physically. Even at this time, Lord, where many people have died in various countries, where many people have lost their jobs, have pay cuts, we ask You to have mercy on us, Lord. Continue to bless us. Continue to provide for us so that we know that You are a God who provides, a God that disciplines, and yet Your steadfast love is there. Your mercy is there. We thank You, God, for being a merciful God, that while we were yet sinners, Lord, You died for us because You love us. In Jesus' name we pray all this. Amen. Amen.